Hello and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in treaties of peace and friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Tuesday, August 17th. Coming up on today's show, the town of Sackville's annual residence survey results are in. And the few hundred residents that weighed in are happy with the town's parks and facilities and garbage collection, but they are looking for improvement when it comes to economic development. We talk with Senior Manager of Corporate Projects, Kieran Miller, to hear more about the survey and its results. That's coming up right after these local news updates. It's election day across the border in Nova Scotia. Our neighbors in the Cumberland North District are choosing between four candidates: incumbent Elizabeth Smith-McCrossan running as an independent, Liberal Bill Casey, NDPer Lauren Skabar, and Conservative David Whiteman. The results will start to be reported live on the Elections Nova Scotia website starting at 8 p.m. tonight. Since Sunday, Nova Scotia has been in the rare position of having two active elections going on, since the federal writ dropped before Nova Scotians had made their choices provincially. CHMA will bring you the results on tomorrow's Tantrum Hour Report. Jan and Bill Hurdle have announced that they are putting their Middle Sackville grocery store, Hurdle's Variety, up for sale. The pair made the announcement on social media on Monday. The Hurdles say they will continue to run the store until a buyer can be found. The pair say they're looking for someone mature, confident, friendly, and willing to work. They're willing to train new owners and are quite negotiable, according to their social media message. The message said the Hurdles were drained emotionally after recent negativity on Facebook, likely referring to criticism leveled at the owners after they removed a pride message from their store sign within hours of it being put up by their own staff. Ironically, Bill Hurdle said he removed the message, which read, "Love wins over judgment, happy Pride Month," in order to avoid controversy. The vaccination effort in New Brunswick continues to inch along. Monday's numbers show 71.5% of eligible people have received two shots of a COVID-19 vaccine. In Sackville, that number is higher, hitting 79% as of August 10th. About 22,000 shots were administered province-wide in the past week. That's almost double the number administered the previous week, but still well below the rates achieved in May, June, and July. New Brunswick has yet to reach the provincial goal of 75% of eligible people double vaccinated, which was the original trigger announced for the end of the province's emergency order. Another 24,412 second doses need to be administered before reaching that goal. Sackville's Corner Drug is ready to help with that effort. The province is hosting walk-in vaccination clinics for those looking for a shot of the Pfizer vaccine this Wednesday and next. If you're in the market for a Pfizer shot, you can drop by the Corner Drug without an appointment between 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, August 18th or Wednesday, August 25th. Vaccinations and younger demographics seem to be keeping people out of hospital so far in the fourth wave of COVID-19 as it hits New Brunswick. In an update on Monday, the province announced another 40 new cases of the disease, bringing the provincial active case total to 105. But despite the higher numbers, hospitalizations have remained at nearly zero. One person was in hospital over the weekend but has since been discharged, says the province, and there are no current patients in hospital with COVID-19. Public health says that the majority of the new cases since July 1st, 86% of them, have been in people who are not fully vaccinated. On the flip side, that means there's been 27 cases in people who were fully vaccinated, and likely more in people who have had one shot. Public health has said that recent cases have also skewed young, concentrated in people under 40, especially in the Zone 1 health region. 32 of Monday's cases were in Zone 1, and over half of those were in people 40 and under. The rest of the cases were in people ranging in age up to their 70s. An employee and a resident of a 50-bed nursing home in Riverside, Albert, recently tested positive for COVID-19, and the province has declared an outbreak at that home. Mass testing of residents and employees took place on Friday at Forestdale Home, to be followed by two more rounds of mass testing. Another outbreak has been declared at the Owl and Friends Learning Center in Moncton, where there have been four recently confirmed cases of COVID-19. The daycare will remain closed until August 24th. There's a long list of potential public exposure sites for Zone 1, with the latest additions of Costco and the Old Triangle Irish Ale House in Moncton on August 11th and 7th. A new flight advisory was also issued for an Air Canada flight from Montreal to Moncton on August 7th. Now for today's feature story. Every year for the past 4 years, the town of Sackville has asked residents to weigh in on town services and share their experiences. This year, more people than ever before completed surveys rating their satisfaction on town services and naming priority areas for the town to focus on. Survey respondents are not selected randomly, so the results have to be taken with a statistical grain of salt, as they don't necessarily represent the wider population of Sackville. I called up Kieran Miller, the town's senior manager of corporate projects, to ask more about what town staff learned from the 2021 residents survey. Kieran Miller, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Erica. Thank you for having me.
So the town got 323 responses to its 2021 resident survey. Is that up or down from past years?
Yeah, so we had, over 300 people participate this year, and that is up. So this is our fourth year running the survey, and we've been really happy to see that each year the number of respondents increases. So when we first did it in 2018, we only had 110 people filling it out. So each year it's increased. In 2019, we had 159. Last year in 2020, we had 259. And then this year was our highest participation rate at 323 people.
Okay. And 323. So it's up from previous years, and it's not quite, say, 10% of the population. But
yeah, it is important to 323 is, it's our highest number yet. It's great that it keeps growing, but that is a very small sample of our population here in town. So it is important to remember that.
Yeah. And it's not random, I guess, because it's people that have been reached through social media and different channels like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How important is the information that the town collects in this survey? What is it used for?
So this information is really important for the town to see. It really gives us kind of a touch point on where the community stands on, a couple of different areas. So it helps set, budget planning priorities, where we put resources, thinking about future projects and what we're going to do next year. So it really kind of helps us make some of those decisions. So the more people that fill it out, the better.
Okay. As you went through the results this year, what did you consider to be some notable results?
This year, I would say we really saw the effects of COVID-19. Two of the main priorities recommended by residents was economic development and COVID recovery for small businesses. So I think everything that we've gone through the past almost 2 years, 19 months now? it all blends together. However long we've been dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdowns, I think that here in our small town, we really saw and felt those impacts quite personally. So how we're kind of rebound and recover from that, I really saw, or we as a staff really saw that as at the forefront of this survey.
Two of the key questions that you asked people to list what they were most happy with and where they thought needed improvement in town operations, and they could choose between the various town services. Now, what made people happy? Town parks and facilities and garbage collection really topped the list. They had a lot of people choosing those. Did that surprise you?
No. Our parks and programming staff work really hard, both like in just maintaining the parks and providing great facilities, and then in the different programs and events that we offer. And they really worked hard to continue offering opportunities throughout all the different levels of shutdown. So the staff worked really hard to keep providing that level of service, and I'm really glad that residents were happy with that.
Yeah. And I mean, garbage collection, I guess we do have a pretty top-notch system. And I guess people love to see their garbage hauled away.
Yeah. And I mean, the Eco 360 webpage is a really great resource, you know, just in terms of information about your collection dates, the mobile depot, and even the sorting tool. Like, if you have questions about a specific item and what waste stream it goes in, you could just type it in, and they have a really, I find it's a really great website, very user-friendly, and a lot of information on there. So I guess residents also feel that way.
Yeah. There was two others there, one that surprised me, winter sidewalks and roads, and fire services were also sort of the runners up in that category, that people were services that people were happy with. Coming from having been, I'm a transplant from Halifax, where winter sidewalks are like the bane of everyone's existence, and everyone hates the service that they have, no matter what it's like. So I was impressed to see so many people pick that. You yourself are a transplant from Fredericton. How do winter sidewalks compare between Fredericton and Sackville in your experience?
Yeah, so I'm a transplant from Fredericton, and then also I'm originally from St. John's, Newfoundland. So both towns or cities that get a lot of bad winter weather. I've been really happy with the level of service here. Our crews are out there. You know, first thing, they have kind of a list of priority streets. You know, you have to get the main thoroughfares done first, but they're very quick about getting to those smaller local roads, and they do a really high quality job of clearing those sidewalks. And you're right, normally snow removal is an area where a municipality would get a lot of complaints, but the staff at Public Works and Parks and Facilities do a great job of getting our streets and sidewalks open for residents in the winter months.
Yeah. That's the winter maintenance side of things. And we should specify that people in those questions, they were asked to rank, or they were not asked to rank all the services. They were asked to pick their top three. So if you were equally happy with more than three services, that wouldn't necessarily show up in the numbers. So it could be other things people are happy about that maybe don't show up as prominently, but And there, in terms of the areas where people saw a need for improvement, there's also sort of some clear signs there. Economic development topped it out with 65% of people including that in their top three things that needed improvement. Economic development is really ultimately only like a small part of what a town does with its budget and that sort of thing. But 65% of respondents picked that as needing improvement. Were you surprised by that?
So economic development has been one of the top three priorities identified by residents in, I think, every survey we've done for the past 4 years. So you're touching on a good point, Erica. It is a small part of what a municipality does, but you know, there's a difference between the actual role of the town and then the expectation from residents. So we do have a business development, a manager of business development and tourism, and he does do a number of different programs. We have this summer a business development intern who's been running different workshops. So I think there is a lot more going on that the town is doing that maybe residents aren't aware of. I mean, it is an important issue, absolutely. There is a role, you know, from the Regional Development Corporation or the province to play as well. But the town is doing a number of different activities to support economic development here in Sackville.
And I suppose one of the other things about economic development is that as a sort of catch-all term, what most people mean by economic development is not necessarily what just the departments of economic development in our governments do, because they sort of refer, I think a lot of people are referring to planning policies and just how easy it is to be a business in a town and that sort of thing. So it's interesting because it's not like, I guess you can't just turn up the dial on economic development or increase the budget and expect everyone to suddenly be satisfied, because it's more complex, isn't it?
It's a very complex topic. And you really hit the nail on the head, like making it easy for new businesses to come to Sackville and set up, making it easy for existing businesses to, you know, continue operating or to expand. It's supporting a range of different industries and different scales of businesses here.
And so the other two items, or the other two services, we talked about winter sidewalks being getting some love on the positive side, but town roads and sidewalks did get sort of the needs improvement along with police services. Are those perennial issues that have come up in past surveys, or is that something new?
So roadwork is a pretty consistent concern. Like the state of roads and sidewalks is a pretty consistent concern from residents over the years. I think this year in particular, we've seen a lot of concerns around speeding, which kind of ties in the police and roads in kind of a different aspect. So the sense of safety, Pontchore Road, we've seen a lot of concerns about speeds up there and police presence. So it's not a surprise in terms of information that staff is receiving, and it's definitely something that we would look to improve.
Now, one of the questions you asked people to sort of give you a sense of them, you asked, what is the one most important issue facing your community that you feel should receive the greatest attention from your local leaders in the coming year? Now, I don't have the numbers on that one because people wrote in their answers for that one. Can you give us a sense of what people said when they were picking their most important issue?
Yeah, so we saw a lot of different, that question, there was a lot of variety in the responses that we were seeing. Some of the ones that would stand out would be policing services, so just concerns about, you know, crime rates, speeding, just overall resident sense of safety. Transparency has been identified as a concern by residents. That one's a little harder to unpack. So much of the municipal government process is public, so we're definitely looking to try and improve that where we can. We did see a concern, and we did do a follow-up survey because we saw a couple of concerns around leadership, budget, and customer service. Those kind of three topics stood out from the first survey in March. So we just we had launched a second survey just looking for some follow-up around those three specific areas, and that actually just closed on August 14th. Because the numbers were a little bit confusing. So we saw concerns about leadership, but we just had an election where, you know, five councillors were just reelected. So you have some people saying that they're concerned about leadership, but then you have this overwhelming support for the existing councillors and getting them back on council. So we were just looking for a bit of trying to get some clarification around that. We dug a little bit deeper on the budgeting because, you know, we work really hard to have a balanced budget every year. Maybe we're not doing a good enough job of kind of tooting our own horn about, you know, how year after year the budget is balanced. And then in terms of customer service, you know, a lot of times someone will have, you know, one bad experience and will write in about that in terms of customer service. I mean, you see that across kind of, you know, restaurants, stores, offices, you know, it doesn't matter what sector it is in. So we want to follow up and just see if there was kind of, if these were one-off interactions that didn't go well, or if there's like an overall change that needs to happen. So looking for a bit more clarification around that aspect of customer service here at Town Hall.
So that was the follow-up survey?
Yes.
And so that's closed now. So I guess you'll be tallying those, and maybe we'll have to do a follow up with you later to find out what you found out there.
Yeah,
sounds good. So any changes to the process of for next year's survey? Any ideas about changing how you're doing this resident survey or anything like that?
So we'll certainly look at improving promotion just so that more people are aware of it, trying to make it as easy as possible for people to complete it. You know, everyone is busy between work and home, so it's certainly taking some time out of their day to fill out the survey, which we understand and appreciate, so making sure it's very easy to do. You know, we absolutely respect people's time and feedback. It's very valuable, so making sure people know about the survey, when it is, and how to complete it. And then I find the infographics that we put out kind of summarizing it is a really great visual for compiling all the data that we get.
Well, thanks, Kieran. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Erica. And we can certainly touch base once we've had a look at the feedback from that follow-up survey.
Great. That was Kieran Miller, the Town of Sackville's Senior Manager of Corporate Projects. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Tuesday, August 17th. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.